Well, welcome in. Latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I was trying to be Razorback Mike, but not today, apparently. There's Cousin Shane. I was calling him Suey Shane. You're everybody's favorite cousin. What's going on, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
I'll tell you what's not going on, and that's technology. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, we're running several minutes late. It's 100% my fault. Well, yeah, I mean, technically my fault, but just StreamYard. StreamYard is the real fault, because of all these graphics, Jane, I work all day on them.
Yeah.
And then they don't upload. So...
Damn.
I'm in a panic mode over here trying to get all this up, and we let's show them, let's at least show them the crazy, so we can give you this, but you can't even see
it. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but it's working about as well as the Razorbacks on the field here lately.
That's what it looks like after a 4th of July barbecue, you know, and your eyes are getting a little sideways from all the cold beer you've been drinking. So oh man, I'll tell you what, Mike, I know this, you don't like talking about it, but I'm going to talk about it because it may never happen again. I just want to give a shout out to this golf ball right here, because I found it on hole one. I got an eagle on hole 18, had witnesses. I was afraid that I'd be there by myself, but I had some witnesses. It dropped in the cup. Probably never happened again. First time I got under 90. So bam, there it is. Big day, big weekend. Eagle for 4th of July.
Well, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, what is an eagle? I don't even know what that means.
So it was a par four. So I had four shots to get it in the hole. On the second shot, it went in the hole. And what was crazy was it was up on a hill, so I couldn't see it, right? So I go around and
you missed it?
No. Yeah, I couldn't see it go. I didn't see it go in. I was like, man, that felt like a good shot. And then I was like, well, maybe I hit it so hard it went in the woods. You know, I was like, well, I didn't hit it that hard. I was like, and then you have that moment. You always have that moment. You're like, what if it's in the cup? And I didn't want to go over there because the guys weren't up there yet. So I said, I think it's in the cup. And they came up and I walked over, and at first I didn't see it. And then all of a sudden I looked down and there it was, man. I was like, oh my God, I yelled, you know. I was like, it's like getting a hole in one almost, you know, for me anyway. So it was the best outing I've ever had. It's all downhill from here. I think I should retire, Mike. I have climaxed in golf world, I think.
Borderline erotic. Let's throw it back to old Bielema day. So congrats. But hey, as always, Shane, don't matter if we're 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour late, whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. JR's here to save us. Shout out the legend. Let's play his music for him here, Shane.
Da-da-da-da. The legend, Cousin JR, has done it again.
He's done it again, Shane. This time he has blessed Rebel and Dave Adventures. Rebel,
welcome to the family.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
It's Steven Up, Shane.
Hey, there he is.
He's having a good time kicking Arkansas's ass. He said, I'll give him one. Shout out Chris Marshall. Chris,
welcome to the family.
And I thought,
thank you, Steve-O.
Yeah.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Hey, JR gave you $2 for the eagle, Shane. There you go.
Hell yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to need a new golf ball. So, cause I ain't ever hitting that one again.
Cousin Ben, he has gifted a membership, man. Everybody's in a giving mood.
Thank you.
Cousin Ben has blessed Brian Lowe. Brian, welcome
to the family.
And then Robert Jenkins, he has become a YouTube member. We appreciate you, Robert. Yeah. Robert, welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
And he's a big hottie tottier, so do we have a sound effect for that? Yeah. I'm looking through the sound effects. JP's giving us all of them, but some of them, they're kind of hard to find because there's 1,000 on here. But JP's even gifted one now.
Oh, gosh. Does he got his own voice?
He has gifted Jeremy Brigham a membership. Jeremy, welcome
to the family.
Yeah, should we even talk about Arkansas? I mean, we're just going to keep gifting.
No. Maybe that's the game. Just keep gifting so we don't have to talk Razorback football. I see what y'all are doing. Oh man, I tell you what, brother, isn't it in the air? I tell you what, I get up in the morning sometimes, and that grass is just right. It reminds me of August two a days, and it just feels like, man, college football is almost here. It is. It's a little over a month away now, man.
Yep, it's right around the corner, Shane, and I'm getting more and more excited, even about Arkansas. Again, I know I was just trolling them, but yeah. So let's get into it, man. As I do the research for that, but aside from the technology, I had a heck of a time today studying up the Razorbacks. So real quick, mm-hmm. What happened last year, as we like to recap it as always, 7-6 season. Not the standard, of course, here in Arkansas, but hell, Shane, I have been around some Arkansas seasons that have been a lot worse than this one. Yeah. You know, the thing that really kills us, though, is the fact that we dropped a couple games we feel like we should have won. And yeah. I'm looking at Oklahoma State in double overtime. A&M, we can never beat A&M. What the hell? But that was, you know, that was right there. That was a four-quarter battle. And, and of course, the highlight of the season, hate to bring it up for you, but beating Tennessee was number four in the country when they beat them. I mean, that, again, is this the standard? No, but it's not quite the doom and gloom some people are making it out to be.
No. I mean, you could even rope Mizzou in there. That was a tight game to the very end. And, you know, right. I'm not saying it could have happened, but if the Razorbacks would have went 10-3 last year, you know what I'm saying? What would we be talking about going? We would be talking hot seat. We'd be talking, this is our guy. And I felt like that's where we are. We were so close. I saw some development. I saw some growth. But unfortunately, it's that last month was that's what people think about, was the three out of the last four being losses, and some of those pretty ugly.
Yep.
Oh, Mike's gone. Damn, he's just taking a break, eating a sandwich over there. I thought Tennessee was the highlight, in my opinion. Obviously, I'm a Vol fan. I hated to see it. And now that we've got a quarterback that won't run out of bounds, I think maybe we could beat them this year. But all that, and then the LSU game, it felt like when this team gets momentum, the heart's ripped out because folks got excited. If you recall, after that Auburn game, they were back. Arkansas fans were back. They were pumped up. They're ready to win. And then it's like A&M. Oh, then you get the big one to Tennessee. They're back, baby. And then LSU just pulls them back down. So it was obviously an emotional roller coaster for those Razorback fans. And but I don't know, man. I've sensed a little excitement. The fan base is torn. It's not as doom and gloom as I've seen in years past.
Right. And the thing I wanted to highlight, three losses by a single digit.
Yep.
And again, Texas went 2 years in a row. Now they've gone, you know, Final Four, mm-hmm. and we just lost by 10. So again, it's, I don't think we're quite as far off as some people make it out to be. Now Sam Pittman, I mean, they're ready to see him go. You know, I get it. 7 wins. Again, not the standard. Liberty Bowls. We ain't celebrating Liberty Bowls at Arkansas, Shane, but again, this is not how every coach should be judged, but
yeah,
remember Chad Morris, only time I ever mentioned him ever again. He was 4-18 as our head coach.
Ew.
You know, Brett Bielema, who's, you know, he's doing decent at Illinois now. And you know, maybe some people are like, man, I wish we had Bielema. He was 29-34. So Sam Pippen's got a better uh-huh. record than he had. And yes, Bobby Petrino, you know, he's kind of the gold standard. He was 34-17.
Right.
But even Houston Nutt, who there's good memories about him, he was 39-23 at this point of his career. So it wasn't much better than Sam Pittman. I just think Arkansas is one hell of a tough job. And again, look at it this way. So here's Pittman against the SEC. He's got a winning record against Tennessee. Give that. South Carolina, Mississippi State. Now the rest, again, work in progress. But find me a team on here, Shane, that he's got a losing record against, that doesn't have either a better talent pool, more NIL. I mean, I think the deck is stacked against Sam Pittman. And this is not to sit here and make excuses for Sam Pittman, but you know, everybody's eyeing like who's going to be the next coach. Well, if you don't address these issues,
right,
commitment, NIL, it's going to be the same old, same old. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that I don't know. I just don't think you just run Sam Pittman off and all your problems are solved.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think that Tennessee one's a typo. I don't think that's right. 2-0, that doesn't make sense. But I'm right there with you. And it seems like Arkansas should have the money. I mean, everybody's quick to talk about them Tyson Chicken and the Walmarts and everything. It just kind of surprises me that they're not all in, and maybe they're waiting. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they're waiting for that opportunity to go all in. Like, you're close. You just need I don't know. I don't know what it is. It kind of it frustrates me a little bit. When we started doing this revenue share, these are teams I start thinking of. Like, is this like, does this bring the floor up for Razorbacks? And, you know, I mean, if you want true parity, Mike, you can't have a bottom team. You got to have teams that are competitive every single Saturday. And I feel like Arkansas is closer than obviously they were with the last regime. But it just seems like the ceilings is so far away right now.
Right. When Texas is spending $40 million on their roster, and you're spending $7
million. Mm-hmm.
How in the hell are you supposed to compete with them? But again, now thanks to this revenue share, we got closer to $20
million. Yeah.
I think it makes Arkansas a lot more competitive. I really do. We'll get to the portal here in a second. But we got a shout out. Shane,
Steven,
we got
up.
Mr.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Mr. Sip just gave us $10, Shane. Sam Pittman is still a great coach and a Southern. I agree with you, Mr. Sip. Mr. Sips, he's the one that sent us these cowbells, I believe, Shane, and you got one coming to you. And shout out Jason Franken. He just became a member of the channel. Jason, welcome
to the family.
I think that's Sam Pittman's burner.
Welcome to the family.
and Sam is, I mean, I love Sam, and I hate saying that because I say it all the time, but he truly is exactly what you think he is. You know, a lot of folks will listen and say, I like Sam Pittman. But when you talk to him, especially when it's not on camera, he is a cool dude. He's down to earth. You find yourself wishing or just hoping that he has success. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we need more Sam Pittmans in the SEC. I'll tell you that. You know what?
Yes, absolutely. You know what else we need, Mike?
What's that?
We need more Stephen Upps. Stephen Up gifting yet again another family member to the show. I know this one was a little while ago, Mike. This is about 7:13 our time. But did you guys see who that was?
Oh, Jeremiah Holly. Jeremiah,
welcome to the family.
Should I play Stephen Up sound effect again?
Hell yeah.
Hell always yeah. Showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Who dat? All right. Coordinators. Now here's good news, Shane. This is why I'm fired up if I'm an Arkansas fan.
Yeah.
Coordinator continuity, led, of course, by Bobby Petrino. Year two in Arkansas, Shane. Arkansas was number 5 in the SEC in yards of 20, plays of 20 or more yards. And I'm talking conference play. So this ain't, remember we played peanut butter. I can't remember if it was Arkansas or not. We ain't counting those games. We're just talking the SEC games. Arkansas, number 5 in big plays. I think that is awesome. But here's a huge, huge red flag, and we have addressed it. We'll get to the portal in a second. 27 sacks allowed.
Yeah.
Only Oklahoma was worse. So if we can protect Taylen Green, who's in year 2 as well, year 2 Bobby Petrino, you would think the understanding of the offense, the decision making, everything will be a lot quicker and clearer for Taylen Green in year 2. I mean, this offense, I think, is going to give him a fighting shot each and every Saturday. And then year 3 for defensive coordinator Travis Williams, so he's a hell of a coach, Shane.
Yeah.
My concern is more about the overall talent he's got to work with, but I think he's a rising star in this conference. We got to do better in conference play, though. We're 14th in scoring defense, 15th in tackles for loss. So we got to get more havoc. We can't allow as many points. But again, year 2, Bobby Petrino and Taylen Green has got me. I think that's the most excitement I could have for Arkansas this year.
Yeah, because the offense changed when he showed up. You know, a lot of times when these new coordinators come in, it is their job, but the coaches got a, you know, a say in it, a hand in it, if you will. This was truly Bobby Petrino's offense, and you felt that day one. I love the talent that you, we're talking here. What is it? Talon? Is that how you say his name? Talon Green?
Not on this show. It's Talon.
It was yesterday. Talon Green. Absolutely. But I love the development, because at first you saw the ceiling for this kid, but you also saw the floor. And I felt like there was some growth. There was some monumental steps last season. And to be honest with you, there were several games. It felt like he had to be the one to win. And I don't know, just that combination with him and Bobby Petrino going into year two, getting in the portal, finding guys that Talon needs. I that bodes well for this offense, man.
It does. As does returning production, Shane. 45.6% of the offensive returning production from last year is back. That's 10th in the SEC. But again, we're so excited because we got Talon Green. 90% of the passing yards is back from last year. That's number three in the conference. Can he elevate us? Rushing yards, 49.7%. That's 10th in the SEC. Now, the big concern, though, is receiving. Only, I should have updated this. It's down to 7.9% of the receiving yards from last year, Shay. That's dead last. The top nine receivers from last year are all gone.
Yeah.
So that's a red flag. But again, we'll get to the portal here. But here's reason for optimism. We're bringing back quite a bit on the offensive line. Over 56% of the offensive line snaps is number six in the SEC. And we've added the portal there as well. So if offensive line can protect, if they can clear holes for this rushing attack of the Razorbacks, again, would you rather have, you know, continuity coming back at receiver? Of course. But I'll take a game-breaking quarterback over having all these receivers back any day of the week, because I think a quarterback elevates the entire operation.
Yeah, and the offense, man, it's with that offensive line. There's something about mobile quarterbacks that I feel like the new guys have a tough time adjusting to, even the portal guys. You know, these guys, you ask Harris, Camrona, Blackstock, you ask these guys, they know there is a clock that is ticking in the back of their mind when they know that Talon's going to pull it and run. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like this one's one of those offenses that maybe we didn't. I mean, hell, you talked about the sacks last year, but again, that's growth. That's knowing when to get rid of the football, when to keep blocking to the whistle. So I'm excited a little bit about this, the big hogs up front, because, you know, obviously Sam, this is his bread and butter. We've always wondered why the offensive line has not been better in Arkansas. I feel like they do take that step this season.
Mm. Well, now how about the defense, Shane? Returning production for the defense. Again, this is an issue. 31% of the defensive production is back. That's 15th in the SEC. Tackles, a little bit over 40%. That's 13th in the SEC. Nine of our top 13 tacklers from last year are gone. Tackles for loss, 40% are back. That's 11th in the SEC. Six of our top eight are gone. Interceptions, 30% of the interceptions returned. That's 15th in the SEC. Passes defended, a little bit under 21%. That is also 15th in the SEC. Defensive back snaps, a little over 22%. That is 15th in the SEC. And then defensive line snaps back, a little over 33%, which is 13th in the SEC. So again, a lot of work in progress, not a lot of continuity coming back on the defensive side of the football. So they really had to go into the portal to shore up this side of the ball. But the hope is they've upgraded via the portal, and they got Travis Williams at defensive coordinator, who really, really knows how to get the most out of his players.
Mike, you know, I love being optimistic during these shows, but it's tough when you're looking at this, because it's not like we lost a lot of production on the defense to begin with. You know what I'm saying? So losing, maybe you always say fresh start, you know, new leaf. We got some new guys making room. Those are some of the fun things we like to say. This defense, had its moments last year, but I'm a little worried because of the lack of production that's returning here.
All that tells me, Shane, is we're going to have to win some shootouts. That's all it is. Come on now.
You got to get your money's worth.
All right. Oh, no. Son of a bee. Well, one of the things that wouldn't upload was the transfer portal. But let me just tell you, Shane, let me tell you. According to 24/7 Sports, the Razorbacks had the number 16 transfer class in the country. Now, on three, I got a lot of respect for on three.
Yeah.
But not here, I don't. Because they rated it the 57th portal class. Get the hell out of here. Apparently, they heavily factor in transfers out. Nobody had more transfers out than Arkansas this offseason. 39 guys transferred out. But we're more focused on the 28 guys we got coming in, Shane. And they added offensive linemen that are projected to start. They added about six receivers that all of them are going to see the field. All of them have to see the field. We're bringing back a running back, A.J. Green, who was on the team, transferred out. Then he's like, I didn't know how good I got it. So he came back to Fayetteville. We had a kicker that did the same thing. But, man, this is a play for depth across the board. They've added 20 plus guys that are going to have to see the field. A lot of them on defense, especially, but very, very active portal class for Arkansas. And I've said this many times before, and I hold to it, Shane. They call Kiffin the portal king.
Yeah.
I think Sam Pittman and company are the real portal kings because they typically don't, I know they're doing it this year, but they typically don't have to add 20, 25, 30 guys.
Yeah.
But the ones they do add, they get the most out of them and they get them to the NFL like they're about to do with Talen Green, like they're going to do with Xavier Sory, the linebacker. They get these guys in and they get the most out of them and more than what they had at their previous stop. If they're able to do that with this class, this is going to be one of the more underrated rosters in the SEC this fall.
As soon as you mentioned transfer portal, Ole Miss fans just showed up like crazy in the comment section. Those crazy bastards. Yeah, I'm. You know, that's the thing about the portal. It's like sometimes, I mean, how many times do we talk about kids that came in? Maybe we weren't mentioning it at the start of the season, but at the end, we're just like, oh, man, look at this ad that, you know, team ATBTC had. You know what I'm saying? There may be one or two dudes that are in this portal that may be the pieces that they needed to, you know, get a turnover, create a mistake, give Talen Green a short field and a score and grab some momentum. There's you just never know with the portal. It's about development. And I can guarantee that the kids that do come in there going to absolutely love the culture that Sam and them have created.
Right. And that's proof by guys transferring out and then transferring back. I mean,
yeah.
That's pretty wild. Hey, shout out Cousin Mace. How about this comment, Shane? Lots of talk from a guy who didn't get an eagle today.
Oh, that is true. That is true. You got to earn it, son.
All right, so let's get to the projected offensive depth chart, Shane, for them Razorbacks. And again, if it's red there, that means it's a transfer, right?
Yeah.
If it ain't a transfer, they're basically a returning starter. So... if nothing else, this is going to be an experienced unit, Shane. Maybe not all in the SEC or at Arkansas. But again, we heavily, heavily, heavily attack the portal for receiver, for offensive line, both starting projected tackles, our center, both guards. Interestingly enough, Shane, they are starters. They played a ton of football. They were tackles last year.
Yeah.
So Sam Pittman said, hey, we're taking our tackles. We're putting them in at guard. We're going to get some even bigger bodies. And so this is a huge mystery of how this offensive line is going to look. But when it comes to, you know, the best position group, I'm going to have to go quarterback because I think Talen Green is just so dang good that give me the proven guy over anything else on this offense right now.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, this is the silver lining right here. And, you know, you're looking at that receiver room. That's the one, you know, that could be one of them. You need one of those, two of those guys to really be that, I don't know, that comfort, that safety valve, you know, it feels right. Like that's what Talen was looking. I mean, moments he had it last year, and then he lost it. This is an offense that needs to stay on the football field. You talked about shootouts. You want to help this defense, then keep them off the football field. I love the fact that Russell came back. You know, obviously he danced around with the portal thing for a little bit, but this is a big body back that can absolutely keep those chains moving. So there's a lot to be excited about on the offensive side, man.
Right. Yeah. Braylon Russell year two. He was, you know, he had some star studded moments last year, and then they bring in the transfer, Mike Washington. He from New Mexico State, Shane, he is similar to Braylon Russell where he's a big man. So
yeah,
I think what they're going to want to do next year is play that ground and pound, get behind these big offensive linemen. So I'll probably go running backs, second position group. I'd probably go offensive line, third position group. And I love the fact that the guys that they're bringing in on the offensive line have played so much football. So that is something that I think we can lean on. And I'm just putting the receivers dead last, not because they're not talented, but just because we don't know what these guys are going to look like in a Razorback uniform. They've been productive at their previous stops, but it's one thing to do that at a lower level or a different school and to come in here and do it in the SEC. It's we'll get to the schedule here in a minute. Luckily, you know, some of these schools, Arkansas certainly has a difficult schedule, but they got a couple games to get these guys up to speed as opposed to playing, like a Notre Dame week one or something. But we'd be in real, real trouble if that was the case.
No, absolutely. And we'll get to that in a second. But I do like some of the tune-up games that are scheduled here. Really get this offense gelled by the time we get to SEC play.
Mm-hmm. All right, so projected depth chart on the defensive side. Again, a lot of red here, Shane. A lot of transfers. But on this side, at least, we're bringing back, I think, a little bit more starters into the mix here. I got to go with all these wild names that I know you're going to shout out the Mac and the money here. I think the linebackers are our best group on the defensive side of the football, led by Xavien Sory. He is all-American type potential down there. I will go defensive backs, probably second position group, and then defensive line third. And this is probably my biggest concern for the entire football team is the defensive line. Just, you know, we lost the beast, Landon Jackson. He's in the NFL now. But where they go on the defensive line is a major, major question mark for me.
You know, when I go to the doctor's office, they always have a little computer in there and they're typing stuff. And this looks like, you know, some of my typical blood results. All the red. Let's sit there and talk about fatty liver. No, I think this is... obviously, again, it wasn't that we crowned that defense. You know, we didn't sit there at the end of 24 and say, oh, my God, I can't believe all these studs. There's some studs. I love the Hitman, and I think he's going to do well in the NFL. But I don't know, man. How can you feel sad for something you didn't really appreciate? You know what I'm saying? So maybe a fresh start is exactly what this defense needed, man.
I hope so, Shane.
Positive spin.
So here's the schedule, Shane. Over under for them Razorbacks, 5.5 next season. Odds to win the SEC, 160-1. Odds to win the national championship, 850-1. So, yeah, we're not going to win the national championship, but I think we could surprise some people here. But I like the fact we open against Alabama A&M. I like the fact that we play in Arkansas State in Little Rock. Again, this will give us an ability to get some confidence before we get into SEC play.
I was just trying to calculate money here. If I put 100 on it, you know, it's like these are kind of the fun ones. You know, it doesn't hurt to throw a $20 bill at it. You know, I mean, at least the SEC, you never know what happened there. So, I love the schedule start, having the two home games, two wins, Mike. You know, you don't have that Oklahoma State looming there. This is a couple of games you could get right before you hit the road, but they got to get it right. You know what I'm saying? It's like when I look at Arkansas and I look at this schedule, I'm like, after September 6th, after you whoop Butch Jones' ass, you need to be ready and locked in.
Yeah, so let's get into the win-loss toss, Shane, for them Arkansas Razorbacks. So here's how I have it. You let me know if I'm just crazy once again, Shane. But I got four games on paper that I think should be wins for them. Arkansas Razorbacks, Alabama A&M, Arkansas State. We kind of already hit on those.
Yep.
At Memphis, I don't care. We can play this damn game on the moon. Arkansas is beating Memphis. And then Mississippi State at home. Agree, disagree with any of those four should be wins for Arkansas?
I do not disagree with any of those, cuz.
Okay, so that now here's, this is where it gets interesting, Shane. I got six toss-ups for them Razorbacks. At Ole Miss, again, we could sit here and say, well, that probably should be a loss. Well, Ole Miss replacing more. We've already hit on all that Arkansas is having to replace. Ole Miss having to replace even more. So I think the perfect time to get Ole Miss is early. And, oh, by the way, I know last year was pretty lopsided, but this ain't last year's Ole Miss. And before last year, I mean, every one of these damn games is a battle that goes down to the wire and crazy things happen. So I think Ole Miss is a toss. We got no respect for Notre Dame. Get the hell out of here, Leprechaun. You got lucky and you didn't play anybody. And well, you played Georgia, but Georgia didn't have her quarterback, so that's why you won. Tennessee, at Tennessee, you might sit here and say, well, that's a loss, right? Well,
yeah,
they beat Tennessee four in a row. They beat them last year. I don't think Tennessee's going to be as good as last year. So to me, that's a toss. A&M, yeah, that is almost always a loss, but it's the first time we're getting them at home. We ain't playing in damn Jerry World anymore. So that's a home game, makes it interesting. Everybody already knows what I feel about Hugh Freeze. Getting him at home, I think that's a toss. And then even Missouri, the fact that we're getting that at home, I think that's a toss. Mm-hmm. I've said a lot here. Do you disagree with any of my six tosses?
Well, I think there's one that everybody knows I disagree with, but it's hard to argue with last year. So, yes, it is going to be a Neyland. I'm talking October 11th, Tennessee. But other than that, I really can't, because you got to remember this will be coming from an optimistic standpoint, and I'm optimistically thinking they've got their shit together, and who knows what Tennessee will have by after that bye week. So yeah, I guess that's the only disagreement I'd kind of have.
Okay. And then what Liquid says, I forgot Arkansas owns Tennessee, which they do. I mean, hell, they even win in Neyland Stadium for some reason, but all right. So the two losses at LSU, at Texas, any disagreement with either of those?
No. If they're at home, I really thought they should have had a better shot with LSU last year, but it's tough to argue on the road here. So I'm good with a loss.
Hey, JP says it well, Shane. If Tennessee had Hennon Hooker, they could win. They could win that.
Damn, here I am trying to, you know, sometimes I say a word and I don't realize I say it. And I think everybody does that, especially in radio here, but I tried not to say Hendon Hooker. Tried not to say it, and I just you're now back in. I'm back in, man. It's like Cracker Barrel. I haven't been talking about it until they pick up the phone and get an advertising.
All right, let's break down the schedule, Shane. Week by week, game predictions for them Razorbacks. We're doing this best case, optimistically, maybe a little bit of homerism here.
Yeah.
You could be the biggest anti-Arkansas fan in the world. You got to admit, they're whooping Alabama A&M's ass right out the gate. 1-0, cruising, right? This is going to be another peanut butter game.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of red on this field. And I tell you what, brother, this is when you get excited, I think. You have an opportunity. And I know there's going to be some games you want to play a little keep away, a little ground and pound. Not this game, Mike. This is a game you want to open it up. You want to remind the fans how exciting Bobby Petrino's offense can be, and be electric, man. This should be a 70-point game, man.
Yeah, it should be. You should get your starters out by halftime.
For sure. Absolutely.
And hopefully the next game too, Shay, because Arkansas State, first time we're playing this game. We're going to play it in Little Rock. There's been an annual discussion. Why in the hell we're going to play this team? Well, I'm going to show you why we're going to play this team, Shane, because they went 8-5 last year. They think they can hang with the Razorbacks. Yep. I think this will be one hell of an opportunity, Shane, for Arkansas to get them a 40-point win. Come on, Razorbacks. It's the natural state. It's Arkansas. Arkansas owns this state. Arkansas State, I'd be surprised if they got 10 fans in the stands.
I'm going to be honest. It's going to be tough to watch this one with Lyle Jones sitting over there. You know what I'm saying? Making all that money and hiding down there behind Nick Saban, not getting a job so we'd pay him out. You deadbeat coach. Yeah, I hope this one is an absolute barn burner, and I'd love to see Butch Jones cry one more damn time. So give me another big one here for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
JP says Shane needs a hooker and beer shirt.
dial it up. Hey, by the way, if you come up with a shirt idea and you send it to thatsecpodcast@gmail.com, we will post it, and the shirt will be named after the cousin that came up with the idea. So if you got a shirt idea, jump on there, send it to us, and Mike will be sure to post it.
Hey, Nappy Wings, he says, for every point Tennessee beats Arkansas.
Yeah.
Well, I should eat a wing.
Well, just so you know, behind the scenes, old Nappy, I talked to him a little bit on Twitter today. Uh-huh. He's also the one at Tennessee. Would love to host the game. Remember, we've got a side bet here. If Tennessee loses to Arkansas, I've got to eat a barbecue sandwich for every point the Razorbacks win. He'd like for us to do that at his tailgate. So, yeah. And I tell you what, I was kind of out. I was kind of hesitant, and I saw his booth. And I tell you what, this boy could cook some wings, brother. I tell you what, they look delicious.
All right. Hey, that's something to look forward to. All right. Week three, Shane, at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Buddy, this has been a back and forth series. This is one of the most underrated games in the entire conference, Shane.
Yeah.
I'm looking up the series. And again, I know last year's was lopsided, but this ain't last year Ole Miss, man. This is a series that goes back and forth. Some of the most wild games, Lane Kiffin, Sam Pittman, ever since those two have got there, it basically goes back and forth every year. So I think there's a real opportunity, particularly if Taylen Green can get hot against the Ole Miss defense, that Arkansas's got a real shot to go into Oxford, Shane, and get a win. But I gotta lean Ole Miss on this one.
Mm-mm-mm. That is tough. That's a tough look, Mike. You know, I mean, we already did an Ole Miss preview. This is an Arkansas preview. And, you know, you talk about returning production. That's the biggest one for me. It has worked in Oxford, you know, going to the portal, losing pretty much your entire starting roster and then just replenishing it. But sometimes, and it's going to happen, and it may happen this year, that Ole Miss misses. And if that happens, I don't know. After those two games, I think this is the team. If Ole Miss and Arkansas played week 8, I'd probably lean Ole Miss. But because of all that newness, I'm kind of like an Arkansas here. So give me a big win for the Razorbacks here, starting out 3-0, another top 25 win.
I don't think that's crazy at all. I think that is very realistic. I think this will be almost all of them have gone down to the wire except for last year. I think it goes back to this. So it's just going to be who makes the plays there at the end.
Yeah.
And I know those Rebels are so fired up about Austin Simmons, but if Taylen Green's got the ball last, I think you're right. I think they win it.
Uh-huh.
Now, all right, how about the next game, Shane? Memphis at Memphis. Why we're playing at Memphis, I'll never know. But, you know, they got a pretty good team over here. The other side of Tennessee went 11-2 last year, Shane.
Yeah.
Of course, they didn't play in the SEC, but this is one of the favorites to win their league. Whatever league the hell that is. But, you know, this is a trap game, particularly if they lose, like I just predicted, at Ole Miss. You know, sometimes there's a lot of negativity with the Razorback fans. And, again, I don't blame them the way the last few seasons have gone. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of outrage if you lose to Ole Miss. So one loss could quickly turn to two. Not this year. Come on. We're getting a win. We're going to Memphis. Oh. We'll probably get a recruit or two while we're there. It's, you know, we got to do something to make it competitive and make it fun.
I tell you what, Memphis is good at making barbecue. They're not good at football. And I get it. This is one of those programs that we're going to, you know, talk about how they could potentially beat Arkansas, but at the end of the day, they'll be disappointed, just like I was when I went to Graceland. Give me another victory for them Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I say they went 11-2. I mean, they lost to Navy. They lost to UTSA. It's not like they're got a murderer's row here or anything. You know what?
No.
All right, now this is going to be a lot of fun, Shay. Notre Dame comes to town. Now, the SEC's already kind of screwed up. I hope they didn't cater to Notre Dame. They're making this an 11 a.m. kickoff. Should be a night game. Very rare that you get Notre Dame to come to an SEC stadium because I think they're scared to death to actually do it. They just played in the national championship. Everybody's high on Marcus Freeman. Oh, my goodness. He's a next great coach. I think he is a great coach, Shane. But I think that if his team was playing in the SEC every week, I think they'd get exposed. And I think they're going to get exposed come September 27th, Shane. Give me Arkansas to shock the college football world and get off to a 4-1 start to the college football season.
How hot was Notre Dame last year, huh? After that Georgia win, it just felt like they're back, you know? They're going to stay at the top. I hate Notre Dame. The reason I hate Notre Dame is because we keep flirting with them in the playoffs. They're just messy. And they finally have a good program. It's like Oasis. They came out with the Wonderwall, and after that, we played it. It's over. Song's done. The band's finished. They're not going to get a victory here. Give me Arkansas Razorbacks with a – this is a big one. I mean, this isn't far-fetched what I've projected so far to start this season. And I think there's a lot to get behind them. This is the momentum they'll need when they get deep into this SEC play.
Yeah. I know you probably have not looked at Notre Dame's schedule. I wouldn't blame you because I haven't been looking either, you know, but before they play this game, Shane, they're at Miami in the opener.
Yeah.
Then they have a bye week two for some damn reason. Then they play A&M. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we could be living in a world where Notre Dame's totally exposed by this point and has got multiple losses. We already did the A&M show. I think A&M beats them too. I mean, this could be a, I don't know. I just think Notre Dame this may not even be an upset by the time this game rolls around.
I'll be upset if I can't leave in the third quarter, go grab something to eat. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'd be upset about.
All right, but would you be upset the next week, Shane, going to Tennessee? Come on, Tennessee got shocked last year, just like Notre Dame's going to get shocked this year. Arkansas, again, I don't think Tennessee's going to be near as good as they were last year. Mm-hmm. So naturally, you know, Arkansas's got a fighting chance. I think Arkansas, again, is going to have a major advantage at the quarterback position. Their new offensive line is going to be really tested, though, against Tennessee's defensive front. So, bad blood, revenge game. Do they do it again? 5 in a row, Shane? No. All right, give me Tennessee at Tennessee. I think that's too tough.
Similar to Ole Miss, I think you would want Tennessee a little bit earlier in the season. Tennessee is, I mean, what happened last year was amazing for Razorback fans. And I look back as a Tennessee fan and say, you know, if we would have done this, or if we could have done that, or if we had a right guy here, it was ifs and buts. I felt like Hugh Freeze there for a second, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to Hugh Freeze this thing. I feel like Tennessee, what they're really good at is where Arkansas is going to struggle. And I feel like that gets exposed a little bit in Knoxville. The crowd will be behind it. Yeah, you upset them last year. I don't think you upset them again this year. So give me Tennessee by 1 point. It'll be close. It'll be something stupid, you know?
Well, you know what's not stupid, Shane?
What's that?
P5 Caldry. He just became a member to the channel. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
And then he commented here. I thought it was pretty funny, Shane. He said, I think I just joined the family. Been waiting a year. MIZ beats the Hawks. had to get that shot in, you know?
It's worth it. It's worth the $4.99, guys, just to say something bad about your rivals.
All right, how about the next game, Shane? Texas A&M. Coming to town.
Mm-hmm.
A&M's owed you. Yep. It is what it is. But again, that was, you know, That was a lot of Jerry World. They've won 12 of 13, I believe, is the number here. I mean, that's pitiful. But again, this is a new age. We're getting it at home, finally. Will that be enough? I don't think so. I mean, this is one where, like, I got to see it before I believe it. And I have picked Arkansas probably about five times to beat A&M, and I don't think it's literally ever happened when I predicted it. Maybe this is good news for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, again, it's that streak that we talked about. We've talked to some Aggie guys, and they don't even talk about this game. You know what I'm saying? Because it's down in Jerry's World. It's another home game, but it won't be now, you know? And I think the home and home is the best thing that could have happened for Arkansas, especially the fans, so they don't have to travel down there every year. And I know it's going to be tough coming off a hard loss against them Tennessee Volunteers, but I don't know. I think there's a little bit of a bounce back. And I'm looking at these next two games. I don't know which one it is. I have to pick one. And I think I'm going to pick a loss. I think I'm going to pick a win here. I think come back and you get the Aggies. This is a big one and a good bounce back, in the heart of this SEC play.
Yeah, you keep kicking the Aggies while they're down, which they probably appreciate that. But again, I think A&M could be playoff type team. So
yeah. They stopped donating, so I'm off the way. No, I'm just kidding. Here's the thing. I've always been on the A&M bandwagon. I have. I really have for a long time. In fact, we're going down to Atlanta. Last time I was in Atlanta, I was the only one to pick them to win the SEC. Literally, the only one, and I know that because I did it, and I saw one idiot did it, and got rid of Jimbo.
How many games did they win that year? You always leave out the interesting.
It was
part.
Bad when was it a Nye Smith got arrested right before it? I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a bad year. So
they won five games that year.
I do think this is a great game, Mike. I do think this. You want to talk about an absolute barn burner, Reed and Talen? That's going to be a fun show to watch. I don't know, man. I feel like Arkansas is going to get some of these, and they're going to lose some of these, and I feel like this one could be the one they get.
Yeah, and another one that perhaps fits that description, Shane, Auburn comes to town.
Yeah.
Now, they smoked you 2 years ago when they came to town, and you returned a favor, and you beat them in their stadium last year. So this is an unpredictable series.
Yeah.
Hugh Freeze, Sam Pittman, for a while there, it looked like Hugh Freeze major coaching advantage. But again, Arkansas swung it back. This was one of their more impressive performances of last season. But you already know what I think about Auburn. I think they're getting a loss, Shane. Come on the road. I ain't buying whatever BS they're selling on the planes down there. Mm-hmm. So I think we get on the right side of winning here. I think this is going to be one of the more critical games for the Razorbacks this entire season.
Absolutely, man. And this is for me, brother. What is it? This is the infamous 9 out of 10, right? We play them 9 out of 10. Yeah. This is that game. And unfortunately, you're going to get another opportunity, Hugh. So he said 9 out of 10, not 8 out of 10. So I feel like Freeze, this is the 0.5 situation I was telling you about. They win one of these, they lose one of these. I picked A&M as a loss. So I feel like Auburn would be a loss for Arkansas. So unfortunately, another loss there.
Wait, you said somebody contradictory things. Wait, so who's winning?
Yeah, I feel like I know. I hate saying it. I hate saying it, but I feel like the Razorbacks lose this one.
Oh God,
they win A&M, they lose Auburn. It's the infamous roller coaster of being an Arkansas Razorback fan. Mm. Extreme highs and lowest of lows.
Well, I'll tell you what game they better not lose, Shay. This again, all the nice things I said about Sam Pittman. This is where he loses even me. If you lose to Mississippi State. Yeah. At home, you cannot be losing this game. Give me a big win for them Arkansas Razorbacks. I do think Mississippi State will be better, but they shouldn't be good enough to be winning at Arkansas like they did a couple years ago.
Agreed. This should be a big one. And again, getting back on track here, big win. Fun game. Still going to be a fun game. This Mississippi State, you better believe they're going to be in some shootouts as well. But I think Arkansas kind of puts this one away early.
Now, LSU's next, Shane, at LSU. That's the difficult part. Mm-hmm. I think best case for Arkansas, LSU gets absolutely destroyed by Alabama. Yeah. And they come limping into this game, and they want no part of it. They're ready for next season already, and Brian Kelly's on the hot seat. I mean, that's the dream scenario, right? But
yes,
if we got to sit here and if this, if that, if this, maybe we got a shot. So I got to go LSU, Death Valley. I think they probably get a comfortable win here.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. And that being said, I feel like a scenario. It has to be something. I mean, who knows? The wheels may be coming off down there in LSU. We're saying optimistically here, if they drop an opener, if they drop the Alabama game, then all of a sudden people are, you know, squirming a little bit. And that's what LSU did. They go down to Gainesville and they get their ass smoked by the Florida Gators. It just feels like this would be kind of that scenario, but I just don't think that happens because I'm a little higher on LSU than most. So I think LSU will get the victory here.
Yeah. Next week, they got God's gift of football down here in Texas, Shane. Arch Beatty, he's probably already won the Heisman. Probably the first time they've awarded it in November. They're going to do it a little bit early. Just get that formality out of the way. Texas, you know, this is their sport. This is their conference now, apparently.
Yeah.
So I think they'll probably crush old Arkansas, given the fact it's on the road. But hell, I mean, it was competitive last year. Sam Pittman's beaten Texas before. Maybe he can do it again.
Well, Arkansas could really benefit off scenarios. I mean, we just talked about the LSU scenario of losing to Bama. Texas has, I mean, this game is sandwiched between Georgia and A&M. And you want to talk about a perfect spot. I think that's a perfect spot for Arkansas to be in. It's just unfortunate. I think Arkansas is going to lose that one.
Shout out Razor Bass, Shane. He says, Shane's hot take. Arkansas is going to win some. Arkansas going to lose some.
Yeah, sorry. That's just science. That's just science. I don't make the rules.
How about the finale, Shane? Missouri comes to town. And, buddy, rivalry? Battle line rivalry? I mean, I think it's a rivalry. Sam Pittman thinks it's a rivalry. Eli Drinkwitz thinks it's a rivalry. The fans don't think it's a rivalry. Well, you know why it's not a rivalry, Shane?
Why?
Because Arkansas can't win this damn game. They change it this year. Give them a big win. Not a believer in Mizzou. Whooping Mizzou's ass. I think that'd be the perfect way to cap his season. Buy back some good grace. Go 7-5. Again, not the standard, but you can get to 8 with a bowl win over some Big Ten loser team, which, you know, probably Indiana or Iowa or what, you know, it's always one of those squads. But that's where I got it. I got Arkansas 7-5. I think this is the year they can beat Missouri at home.
Yeah, I'm with Hogs Raiders here. Mizzou is a must win. And, you know, when we talk to Arkansas media, that's, it seems like it's across the board. South Carolina is the same boat. It's just like, I don't understand why we can't beat these guys. I feel like this is one you have to get. This is finishing the season strong, puts you in a better bowl game. And yeah, I think changes the narrative. And it was a heartbreaker last year, but I think Arkansas wins this year. So give me a win. Can you pull the win loss there? I think I've got one more than you. I just want to make sure. So I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. Yeah, I got them going 8-4 is best case scenario. You've got them 7-5, correct?
Yeah, 7-5. Yeah. That's where I got it. So,
yeah. 8. I mean, 8's better. 8-4, win a bowl game, go 9-3. What are we bringing him back, right? Sam told you he's leaving. He just didn't tell you when it was.
Yeah. How about most important game? Maybe I screwed this one up. Maybe I initially did have Missouri in here as number 3.
Yeah.
For everything you just said, but it's so late in the season. Then I feel like we'd get more of a bump by beating Notre Dame. Most important games to me for the Razorbacks this year to exceed expectations. Well, I think we got to Ole Miss. I think will be critical. I think if and you know, big if here, if we beat Ole Miss, I think we're guaranteed to go 4-0, 5-0 if we beat Notre Dame. So I think that would just be, you know, I think all the fans would jump right back on board if we won at Ole Miss, Auburn. That just seems like a crossroads game for both those programs. I think the loser of that game probably fires their coach at the end of the year. So I got Notre Dame number 3 just because of the bump it would give the Razorbacks. But you could easily convince me to put Missouri there as well. How would you have the top 3 most important games for the Razorbacks?
It's tough to argue with that. The only one I may is that number 3, probably switch it with Mizzou or even A&M. You know, again, it's not Jerry's world. There's been some really close football games in the past. You got this one at home. Lord knows what's happened with Notre Dame and Tennessee at this point. This may be a game you have to get to steal some of that momentum back. And that's the only one I would argue there. And that's, I mean, we're talking splitting hairs here, brother.
Splitting hairs. All right. Final question for you, Shane.
Yes.
I'm not going to ask you the playoff thing.
Uh-huh.
Surprise 1-10. And it's funny you said 8-4. I had a feeling you'd go there.
Yeah.
If Arkansas goes 8-4 on a scale of 1-10, 1 being low, 10 being extremely high, how surprised would you be if Arkansas gets to that 8-4 mark?
7. Yeah. I am worried about the defense. I'm worried about that wide receiver room. There's a lot of things I'm worried about. I do like some things. Taylen Green, I think I've said his name 50 times during this show, but when you got a guy like that, he erases mistakes. He wins football games. So I think he elevates that ceiling a little bit. So that's probably why my number's not higher, just the fact they've got him in that locker room.
What if I was able to guarantee you, Shane, that Taylen Green is a Heisman Trophy finalist? What would be the record be?
Nine and three.
Yeah, kind of like Jaden Daniels that year. Of course, he won it. I'm not even saying win it, but I'm just saying being a finalist. I don't think it's as crazy as, again, he's massively talented. Bobby Petrino, year 2. Every one of these damn games, Shane, outside of the first 2, it's going to be nationally televised. I mean, that's the thing. Back in the day, you needed like Heisman campaigns. Yeah, no, you don't need any of that. You just need to perform big in some of these big time games. But, you know, let's say they beat Texas or an LSU. Oh, yeah. That's how Jaden Daniels did it. He beat Florida and he was just unstoppable.
Yeah.
On a, you know, quite average team, but the offense was phenomenal. That, I think, is the ceiling for them Razorbacks, and I think they got a puncher's chance in every game. I don't think Taylen Green is going to be, you know, the best player in the country every time.
No.
But if he does it 8-9 times, then Arkansas could play with anybody.
Exactly right. And if we're talking Heisman, I'd like to get the rushing number. I know 600 yards, you're like, damn, Shane, but I'd like to see 1,000. You know,
well,
I
that, think remember, possible. That was with 27 sacks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's probably got closer to 700 rushing yards in reality last year.
He's so long. I mean, he's like 7 foot tall. And just all of a sudden you look up, he's 12 yards down the field getting a first down. It's just something that most kids don't have the ability to do. And he's just born with it. So, yeah.
Kind of like you.
I'm good for like 2 yards. You know, I never understood that. Like, if you could move the chains 3 yards at a time, it may be ugly. You're talking about Arkansas possibly doing it with these big-bodied running backs. You know, just do it. Just 3-4 yards. Just chew it up. You know what I'm saying? Just hold on to the football all day long. Be the most boring offense ever.
Yeah. I'd love to see it. All right. Anything else, buddy? We want to wish everybody a happy 4th.
Absolutely.
Please be safe, but have an amazing time. Celebrate America.
Yeah, enjoy your freedom.
Yeah, Shane and I will be doing it together. We're going to do some podcasting in person, so that's going to be fun. Anything else, buddy, before we hop offline?
And barbecuing. Man, I'm going to be firing up the grill Saturday morning.
What's the number one thing you're looking forward to grilling the most?
My beans. My beans, without a doubt. Yeah, I make some killer baked beans. In fact, it's a meal to itself. and I'll share the recipe. So I think that's probably the number one. But, you know, and family. I love having family together. It feels like you're only seeing family at funerals and bad things. It's nice to have them together and celebrate, you know. So maybe if you've got some family you haven't seen in a while, you know, go on over here this weekend. Go check out Mamaw and Papaw. You never know. It may be the last time you can cook out with them. So, yeah, just be with your family. Love your family and love America. 4th of July. I'm looking forward to it. Have some cold beers. Be safe. That's the main thing. Because you can't watch a show in jail unless you can somehow get a phone in there, which I've seen. But let's just don't do that.
But the signal maybe is even poor. You know what?
Yeah. And to think, that phone got in there. How?
All right. I don't think there's a better way to end this one, Shane. We appreciate each and every one of you. Have a happy 4th. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys.
Whoopee.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.